from the Three Story Method Podcast Network.
This is the Serial Fiction Show.
I'm Christine Daigle.
And I'm JP Reinbush.
Welcome to the Reader's Serial Fiction Show.
Today, we've got a romantic mystery by Stephanie Bond called Escort Girl. Part chaperone, part babysitter, part therapist, all business. In the romantic mystery, Escort Girl, a young woman who works for an Atlanta PR firm meets and shuttles VIPs who come to town to publicize their movies, books, music, TV shows, politics, and products. It's her job to get them where they need to be, on time and sober, and keep them out of trouble until they leave town. She's on call round the clock and gets pulled into her client's drama, problems, and crimes. But for now, it's a diversion from her own messed up life.
Stephanie Bond lives in Midtown Atlanta. She's written over 100 mystery and romance novels, half of those for traditional publishers. She launched her first self-hosted six-month daily serial in 2016 called Coma Girl and launched subsequent serials including Temp Girl, Comeback Girl, Factory Girl, Lottery Girl, and Elevator Girl. And now, a sample of Escort Girl, Episode 1.
Hello, friend. My name is Esther Sharp, of the Buckhead Atlanta Sharps. Yes, my father is that Sharp, the media mogul. And yes, my mother is that supermodel from the 1980s. I look like my father. You probably noticed my family has been getting its own fair share of media itself lately since my dad lost his ever-loving mind and did some incredibly stupid things, including having an affair with a girl who's my age, 26. In case you missed it, my mother went nuclear on his assets, and they seemed determined to murder each other in the tabloids and over social media. They each want me on their side, which is amusing considering they've pretty much ignored me most of my life. With all the unpleasantness associated with being a Sharp at the moment, everyone thought it best if I left my marketing position with my father's company and found something else until things quiet down. Easier said than done, but I finally landed a job as an escort girl. No, not that kind of escort. I work for a local PR firm, and it's my job to meet, greet, and be discreet with VIPs who come to Atlanta to publicize their music, books, movies, TV shows, politics, clothing, beauty products, food, housewares, charitable causes, or anything else they're hawking to the masses. I'm part chaperone, part babysitter, part therapist to these needy, attention-seeking celebrities, and I'm on call around the clock. Because my family has always been in the spotlight, I know how to avoid a scandal. My clients don't always listen. Still, my goal is to get them where they need to be, on time and sober, keep them out of trouble while they're there, and send them on their way with as little damage to themselves and to others as possible. I don't want to do this forever, but for now, it's a good diversion from my own messed up life. July 1st, Friday. Esther Sharp. July 1st, Friday. Esther Sharp. I turn my head toward the lean, well-dressed man who scanned the posh lobby. I instinctively lifted my hand a few inches. When I realized how schoolgirlish that seemed, I pushed to my feet and walked toward him. Hello? He surveyed me suspiciously. You're Esther Sharp. I was accustomed to that reaction when people tried to reconcile my plain appearance with my celebrity surname. He'd expected me to be the cute redhead scrolling through her phone or the striking blonde taking a selfie next to the phallic table sculpture. I ignored the flash of pain and gave him my best smile. Yes. What's your name? He recovered. I'm Fenton, Ms. Peters' personal assistant. Tony is looking forward to meeting you. Same here. I shouldered my briefcase bag and followed him down a hallway. He walked quickly, as if I was late, although by my watch I was 10 minutes early. I trotted to keep up. What can you tell me about her? I learned long ago that it was beneficial to befriend the people who supported the people whose names were tethered to the door. He grunted. She lets her clients get away with murder, but has a zero-tolerance policy for employees. I swallowed. Good to know. He stopped at a glass-walled office and rapped on the closed door. A petite, dark-haired woman behind a massive desk lifted her head and waved us in. She wore black-rimmed glasses and her red mouth was moving. She appeared to be on a conference call. Fenton opened the door and preceded me inside, then stood quietly while Tony Peters finished her phone call. The woman was compact, immaculately dressed, and barely contained. She looked to be in her 40s, although I suspected she was older. "Phil, I've already spent too much time on this mess," she said matter-of-factly. "If you expect me to stay the course, you know what you need to do. Bye." She stabbed a button on the desk phone with a gold letter opener that looked lethal, then lifted her gaze to us. "Who's this?" "Esther Sharp," Fenton offered in an apologetic voice. Behind the glasses, her eyebrows arched. After she gave me a twice-over, she waved to Fenton. "Leave us." He fled. I waited. The woman leaned back in her white leather chair, still surveying me, missing nothing. "How old are you?" 26. "Well, you didn't get your mother's looks, did you?" "No." "Well, I hope for my sake you've got your father's smarts." Then she scoffed. "Not that he's been making good decisions lately." Unsure of an appropriate response, I tried to turn the conversation back to me. "I've been working in marketing at CMY for the past 2 years. Such a pity your father had to step down. The stock's in the crapper, and I had a truckload." I wet my lips. "I'm a fast learner." "Are you single?" I nodded. "Good, because you'd be on call around the clock, including weekends." I was still standing, and it was clear she wasn't going to ask me to sit. "I'm sorry, no one told me what the job is exactly." Her smile was humorless. "It would be the hardest job you've ever had." She thought I was powder puff. But then so did most of the world. And I couldn't blame them. My father was a rich, bombastic man who made or broke careers with the wave of his arm. And my mother was once declared the most beautiful woman on the planet. I, too, would have assumed their only offspring had been raised in the shelter of nannies and servants to shield me from pedestrian virtues like work and effort. I lifted my chin. "Try me." Her mouth quirked. "You'd be an escort girl. Some of our clients live here in Atlanta, but most don't. Regardless, it would be your job to get them to their events on time and see to their needs until you deliver them home or back to the airport." "I see. You'd have big shoes to fill. One of my best escorts, Liz, is out for 6 months with her newborn. You'd be taking over her clients." My pulse blipped. "This is a temporary position?" "I needed a steady job to pay bills, like everyone else in the world. Contrary to popular belief, I don't have a trust fund. To be honest, I was running low on trust in general." "Temporary for now," Tony said, nodding. "After that, we'll see. I have to warn you, my clients are my business, so I expect the highest level of competency where they're concerned. And I probably don't have to tell you that celebrities can be difficult and demanding." I shifted foot to foot. When she realized I wasn't going to dish dirt on my parents, she straightened. Your primary job would be to keep the client on schedule, but it's equally important to keep them happy and out of trouble. Do you think you can handle that? Yes. Thanks to my dad's missteps, my job at CMY was over, and with the vitriol in the headlines, people weren't lining up to be associated with the Sharps. She pursed her mouth. At least I won't have to worry about clients hitting on you. One upside of being mousy. She still seemed uncertain. Can you start Monday? Yes. Okay. Fenton will provide you with your weekly schedule and will answer any questions you have along the way. Welcome to Peters and Shine Public Relations. I smiled. Thank you for this opportunity. She frowned. Don't screw it up. My smile fell. I won't. Go, she said, pointing to the door. Fenton has paperwork for you to sign. I turned toward the door, torn between relief and dread. Oh, and Esther? I turned back. Yes? She scanned my modest gray dress and flat sandals over the top of her glasses. Casual clothes and makeup are fine, but I expect you to look stylish. Can you ask your mother for advice? My cheeks flamed. Of course. She made a thoughtful noise. Divorce is an ugly business. Let your mother know if she needs a new public relations rep, I'm here for her. Ah, the real reason I'd been offered the job. She wanted my mother's business. It wasn't the first time someone had tried to get to my parents through me. I'll let her know. Tony almost smiled. Now you can go. I went, nursing mixed feelings about the chance I'd been given because of my proximity to the rich and famous. Most people would probably be excited at the prospect of a job that would have them rubbing elbows with celebrities all day long, day in and day out. But since I'd been raised by celebrity parents who had celebrity friends and celebrity enemies, I knew better than to be excited. To be honest, I was a little scared.
So, JP, let's talk about Pro Writing Aid. And as they say on their website, it is the secret to polished and professional writing. As writers, we make the same mistakes. You use Pro Writing Aid, you can get clear, easy steps to improve your writing so you can share your ideas with confidence. Whether you're doing creative writing, business writing, academic writing, just composing an email and you want to sound smart, Pro Writing Aid will help you. And
100%.
There's something new. What is it, JP?
So Atticus, which is a wonderful program that includes book formatting, and it is developing aspects for writers so that it can basically be a one-stop shop for writers, has an integration with Pro Writing Aid now. So we've mentioned before that Pro Writing Aid has a lot of integrations with, you know, Google Docs and Microsoft Word, and now Atticus, which just makes, it makes that tool Atticus really shiny and nice for authors that are looking for a one-stop place. But it's just the fact that Pro Writing Aid can integrate with so many programs so that you're able to use this sort of last line defense before handing it off to someone. It just makes it so much easier. I love using Pro Writing Aid because then I don't have people that are editing it looking for simple mistakes that I can find using Pro Writing Aid that I can learn from. And instead, they're looking at the deeper content and they're able to notate that. So I just find Pro Writing Aid so nice. So I love it when I hear a new integration has happened.
Absolutely. Check out Pro Writing Aid. It will help you be a better writer. ProWritingAid.com. Use our discount code Serial20. So JP, let's talk about LaterPress. So LaterPress is a platform built to help authors declare their independence. It lets authors create digital books and sell them directly to their readers through their own branded website. And there are new things coming to the platform every day in terms of discoverability and new features. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So I put Nerds on LaterPress, and it was a really easy and really fast process, which was pretty cool. And one of the cool things was you can put a collection and then you can put your, like we put nerds in the collection so that ideally if we do any spinoffs or if we do any like season two or like specifying those pieces, you can put those books in the collection, which is really nice. And it's a really nice way of like hierarchical pieces to it, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it basically gives you your own website. Ours is nrds.laterpress.com. And you just direct your readers straight there and they see nerds. It doesn't get blocked by anything else. There are no ads in the way. There are nothing. It's just straight up nerds content for your readers to get straight to reading, which is different than some other platforms, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And I did the same thing, although I uploaded all of my books to a collection just so I had one place, you know, to direct mm-hmm. readers. And so I have Molecule Thief, Dark is Away, and the Steampunk Emerald Key is up there. So it's one link. People can see all your books and you can order them whatever way you want, you know, or your serials. You can put serials up as well. And yeah, and you can do it on a subscription model or pay per book. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, which was a really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pricing thing was pretty cool. Figuring out either doing per book or some type of a subscription model just to kind of give your readers different abilities to support you. Because some people really like the, you know, it's basically like a Patreon, but you just get content to read.
And the cut is just 5%.
Yeah. So test it out. Try it out.
Yep. Laterpress.com.
See you later, press.
Okay. So we have a PR escort trying to keep VIPs with a knack for trouble out of it. What inspired you to write this serial?
Oh, so we're talking about Escort Girl, this year's new serial. So I have a little bit of a background with traditional publishing. And I didn't do it. I wasn't asked to do it very often, but a couple of times my publisher sent me on press junkets. So I did book signings city to city. Not as glamorous as it sounds, by the way. But one nice thing was that each city, there was an escort provided who met me at the airport, who got me to the bookstore on time and, you know, just where I needed to be. And they knew sort of the ins and outs of traffic and which restaurants to go to and all of those things. And it was their job to get me to the hotel, all of those things. It was just so nice to have that sort of a personal assistant when you got to the city. But the fun thing for me was that, you know, in between time when we were in the car, they were telling me all these stories about how they did this for a living. And believe me, I was on the very low tier of people that they escorted, but they had all these great stories about escorting celebrities that came to town and how demanding they were and just this wild side of celebrity that they didn't know existed. So they were very discreet, but they shared some pretty interesting stories. And I remember thinking, man, this would make a great character and a great story. So I just sort of had that in my ideas file and thought someday I'll write that story. And this year is the year. So I'm writing the story in Escort Girl.
Wow, that sounds like a really fun way to get inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of characters, you describe Esther as plain in comparison to the expectation of beauty that others assume based on who she's related to. What about Esther are you excited for readers to discover or learn without giving away too many spoilers?
Oh, yeah. Well, I can't give away too many spoilers because I haven't written very much of the story yet, so we'll confess. But... So I'm glad you mentioned the word expectations, because I feel like that's kind of the theme of the serial, is that Esther has all of these expectations that have been sort of foisted onto her because she has a little bit of firsthand knowledge about celebrities since her mother is a former supermodel and her father owns this huge media conglomerate. So Esther was raised with all of these expectations of her, of the way she's supposed to look, of the way she's supposed to act, of the accomplishments that she's supposed to have at a certain age or not. You know, a lot of people expect that she's kind of a powder puff, that she's not a an accomplished person at all, and expect her to be spoiled and all of these, you know, sort of the way that we would think a celebrity's child would be. So Esther does have all of these sort of external expectations put on her. And I think one of the things we're going to have to see in Esther is she's going to have to get to a point where she decides which of these expectations she's going to meet, where she's going to draw the line, and if she's going to have expectations for her own life that have nothing to do with anyone else.
So I'm curious, which other characters are you excited for readers or for you, since you're still in the process of writing this, to what are you excited for them to read about? Which one of those characters?
Well, so because of the nature of the serial, Esther is going to be escorting lots of different celebrities, you know, to different events and things over the course of this 6-month story. So I'm most excited about some of the VIPs that she's going to escort, because she's going to see a side of them that most people don't get to see. And it's going to give us like a little peek behind the scenes of, you know, into the private lives of a world that most of us will never experience, and we'll get to experience it with her. So I'm most excited about sort of peeling the layers off of the celebrities that she's escorting.
That's awesome. Is there anything else that you would like listeners to know or to be excited about this serial?
I don't know if it helps or hurts to say that I'm writing this as I go along, that I'm definitely listening to reader feedback. I have a Facebook group for my serial readers, and there you can get daily recaps of the episodes in case you miss one or two. And also just to know that I'm listening to the feedback, and that definitely influences the direction of the story in some cases. I have a basic idea where the story's going, but I do want this to be a fun experience and sort of a community experience, everybody reading the same story at the same time. And I want it to be fun for everybody reading, just as, and it helps me too. That makes it more fun for me. It gives it more energy. So, just know that I'm sort of making this up as I go along.
I love that. I love that process that you are like very close to writing like the next day or the next few days. And so there is a lot of participation. And this is not your first serial. So I'm really curious, can you give us some examples of how audience participation has played a role in transforming the story over the course of the 6 months?
Mm-hmm. So almost all my serials. So this is the 7th annual serial that I've done. From the get-go, I had hoped that readers would give me feedback along the way. I was amazed at how many of them did. And so in Coma Girl, the first serial that I wrote, it seemed very clear there was a reaction to certain characters because there were people that were coming to visit Coma Girl in her hospital bed. And the premise was that people didn't know that she could hear them. So as soon as I saw those really strong reactions to certain characters, then I doubled down on those characters. You know, that helped a lot. There's been at least one case where I changed the villain, who committed a crime in one of my serials, just because I could see that my readers were maybe going in thinking that I was going in one direction, and I wanted to take them in a separate direction. So sometimes I've actually gone in opposition of where they thought it was going. So yeah, I'm listening, and I love it that readers, you know, get excited enough that they can even weigh in on the story.
That's awesome. So you do these serials over 6 months, releasing daily for free for 24 hours. So I'm curious, when you're going through that kind of process, what kind of research do you do to craft 6-month serials?
So the research for every story is a little different, but for Escort Girl, I was drawing on my experience with my own escorts. I think everybody knows Devil Knows the Devil Wears Prada, that story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was looking into what personal assistants are sort of subjected to from some of these high profile people. So I was, you know, researching that story, and specifically to see those kinds of experience. I think there's another story called Take It to the Greek or Give It to the Greek. I'm trying to remember. That's an old movie. But that's another example of someone who was trying to deliver a celebrity to a particular place. So that's how I researched this particular story. For all my serials, I kind of start with, I know it's going to be 6 months, so I know I'm going to have a big plot turn at the end of the month, and I want to deliver sort of a nice cliffhanger for the reader at the end of the month. So I have it plotted out to that point. I know what the big turns are going to be, but I'll leave myself a lot of wiggle room in between so that I can sort of react to what readers are reacting to.
I love that you mentioned Devil Wears Prada, because Esther's new boss definitely gave Meryl Streep vibes, and I loved it.
Yeah. That was, I was thinking of those scenes when I introduced her, and I wanted her to be a strong woman. It is yet to be seen whether she is a villain or a friend or a frenemy or whatever she's going to be. But yeah, I like having strong women in my stories.
So I'm curious, did growing up on a farm influence this serial or any of your other works in any way?
Oh, you've been researching me. So I did. I grew up on a working tobacco farm in Eastern Kentucky. And I know it seems like a stretch, but honestly, there was such little entertainment that reading was one of the things that maybe the only entertainment choice at some points. But it made me into a writer. I think people who grow up reading, we sort of we absorb this rhythm of storytelling, and we don't even realize it. So growing up on a farm definitely influenced my decision to become a writer later on. And then one of my serials is called Factory Girl. And in that particular serial, I featured a girl in a small town. She works in a sewing factory in a small town, very much like the one I grew up in, destroyed by the factories all going out of business and just showing sort of a town that's slowly dying, from the change of, the industrial jobs going overseas and all of that, and how that really affects people's daily lives. So I did borrow very much from my childhood and how I grew up in Factory Girl. So yep, it influences. And, this is writers yourselves. Every story you write is influenced by every experience that you've had.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, I'm just curious, is there anything you haven't explored yet, either in this serial or in future works that you're planning to or want to?
Well, since I write contemporary romance and mystery, so all of my stories have been of a contemporary time period. I will say that with my last year's serial, Elevator Girl, there was a little bit of a paranormal element there that I won't go into because it's a spoiler. I could see maybe writing different genres going forward, or maybe some sort of a cross promotion, maybe a crossover. One thing I didn't mention is I do have crossover characters in my serials. So one way I was able to sort of lure my readers into the serial was promising them that one of their favorite characters from one of my mystery series was going to be doing a cameo in the serial. He's a popular detective from my Body Mover series. And so for all my serials that are mysteries, you can bet that this detective, Jack Terry, is going to make an appearance in them. And I feel like that cross-promotional, that, crossing over of characters is really a strong way to, it's like Easter eggs for your readers, but also it's a test of your brand. If you have characters that can cameo and sort of guest star in other stories, then that means your brand is strong. And it doesn't necessarily mean you can't change genres, just that you keep the voice and maintain that brand. So yeah, I could see doing some more paranormal. I could see maybe even going sweeter. My serials are kind of PG-13. I have no problem going a little sweeter, maybe a little more racy. We'll see. So lots of things I haven't done yet. Oh my gosh, I've only written, this is my seventh one. I hope this goes on for another 10, 20, 30 years.
I love it. So this is a big question, but you've mentioned Coma Girl, Factory Girl, Elevator Girl. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about your other serials? And this podcast should be airing around the end of July. So how can readers interested in Escort Girl catch up on the series?
Okay, so this is how the serial works. If you go to stephaniebond.com and you go to the serials tab at the top and you click on Escort Girl, then you go to the Escort Girl page. And that's where you can read an introduction of the story to see if you're going to think you might be interested in it. And then that day's episode appears below the introduction. If you go to my website every day from July 1st through December 31st, you're going to get the entire story for free. But if you do need to catch up, or if you want to read ahead, then there's a novella for each month's episodes that will be available exclusively through Amazon. And I'm making those, I enrolled those in Kindle Unlimited. So if you're a KU reader, you can get all of the, all six of the novellas for that particular serial through KU. Also at the end of the serial, I'll make it available in print and audio. So if you're late to the serial and you want to buy a couple of novellas to get caught up and then you can read the rest of it for free, that's great. I found that most of my readers just sort of mix and match the experience. You know, as their schedule allows, they read it for free. And then if they decide they want to read ahead or want to catch up, then they can buy a novella. Some of them read it for free and then buy the print book at the end or the audiobook to listen to. So it really is just sort of a mix and match experience. I want the reader to be able to consume the story in the way that they want to consume it.
I love that. That's such a unique and great way to present serials. So that's so fantastic.
As far as some of my other serials, I will mention that this is another freebie. If you're late coming to the serials, my Coma Girl and Temp Girl serials are both available in podcast, and they're completely free, and you can binge them. There are daily episodes as well, so 180 episodes of each podcast, and they're out there. Any podcast platform that you listen to, just look for Coma Girl or Temp Girl, and those are yours to enjoy.
That's great.
I love it.
Yeah, I love listening to audio when I, you know, I'm busy. So that's fantastic. It's a great idea. So as a final question, what do you like most about writing serial fiction?
I've been doing this for a long time. So at this point, I'm about 25 years into my writing career. And when I decided I wanted to start writing serials back in 2016, I just felt this sort of surge of energy. Like I was really ready for something new. And I hope that energy, you know, readers can tell that it's there. For me, writing serials, it feels a little dangerous. It feels exciting. You know, I love not knowing where it might go. And, you know, when you write a novel, you don't put it out until it's finished. You get to go back and revise it and, you know, make as many passes as you want. And you're like, oh, wait, maybe I'll change that in the beginning and then this will, you know, affect this at the end. When you're writing a serial, the way that I write it, which is sort of by the seat of my pants as I go, there's a chance I might write myself into a corner that I can't get out of. But I kind of like that. I like knowing that I might be getting myself in trouble. And it just sort of, I feel like it... it takes me to the next level. Like it really challenges me as a writer and a storyteller. And usually something better comes out of that than would have otherwise.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down and talking with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so pleased to be here.
Our thanks today to Stephanie Bond for letting us share their episode. If you liked it, you can find the rest of the story on our website. The link is in the show notes. And that's a wrap. Do you want me to do the outro or you want to do it sick person?
You do it, rude.